Our message for this year end is entitled A Heartening Prayer, taken from Philippians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 11. We are at the close of the year. Very soon, the year will be over. And I recall, as preparing the year-end message, that in 2005, our watch night message, we spoke about life, how we ought to live our lives profitably, usefully, before life loses its strength. And over the last few years, there are those who are with us and no longer with us anymore. They have run their race, and the Lord has brought them home to glory. And as we think about ourselves here on earth, at the close of the year, well, it's a fitting time for reflection. It is a time where we count our blessings as we think about God's goodness upon us, and to give thanks to the great grace of God upon all of us. The Apostle Paul was in prison, languishing, in fact, physically very weak, tormented, but in the spirit, he was strong. And he wrote this epistle to the church that was at Philippi. He has visited them more than a decade ago during his second missionary journey, long time ago. And he spent only a short time with them. But the time that he had with them were very profitable time. They developed a bond, a kinship, and it continued even when the dear apostle was in the prison. He would take time to write this letter to encourage this church at Philippi. And so he says in verse 3 and 4 of Philippians chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. He remembered them before the throne of grace. He could remember who are those people were there in the church in Philippi, and he said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Indeed, it was in the fellowship of the gospel. We are joined together as one people in the blood of Jesus Christ. For the fellowship in the gospel, that is a work that God has committed to us. And a church, a group of thriving Christians, spiritually dead at first, but because of his obedience to the call of God to go across, seeing the vision of the Macedonian man, he went over, and there the church in Philippi was founded. And it's more than 10 years ago, and he speaks with such affection to the souls that were saved. Wonderful work of regeneration that God has done in the hearts of these people. And so with great affection, he is writing concerning, well, showing concern for the spiritual well-being of all who are there in the church in Philippi. How do you express concern for someone you love? Well, the Apostle Paul sets us the example. He prays for them. He remembers them at the throne of grace. And you will notice that his prayer for them expresses Christ's heart for the well-being of all his blood-bought sons and daughters. Paul says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And so as we look at this text, it is a prayer that we can adopt for ourselves in our prayer life for others, but also it gives to us the spiritual qualities that may be manifested in our lives, that may be spiritual milestones for our advancement. So there are certain things that he wants us to look at in our spiritual life. He wants us to grow spiritually. But in what way? In what aspect? How can we grow? He's going to elaborate and he's going to speak to us of the spiritual advancement, the hope that he has for the Christians, the dear ones in the church in Philippi. He was in Rome and Philippi in Greece, a long distance away. He would not be able to see them again. But these are his words of encouragement. And we have three thoughts for our meditation. Firstly, fervor, verse 9, and favor, verse 10. And the third word, which, well, is a little bit unusual, is the word fructiferous. Fructiferous, it means bearing fruit. F-R-U-C-T-I-F-E-R-O-U-S. The Lord wants us to have fervor, to have a strength, a life that is in us. And he articulate it in this way in verse 9. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." He prayed that God's love may abound in the lives of the Philippian Christians. He sought not riches nor prosperity for them, but God's blessings, spiritual blessings. And these are those things that we ought to focus on in our lives as we pray for the people around us. And he sets for us the example, showing to us how important it is that we grow in the love of God. Christ's love, that unconditional, sacrificial love, be bestowed in abundance to overflowing in our lives. And I recall learning this chorus. This chorus was sung by Jonathan Goforth. He was a missionary to China during the time of the Boxer Rebellion. And it's the chorus, "Lord crucified." And he says these words, "Lord crucified, give me a heart like thine. Teach me to love the dying souls of men and keep my heart in closest touch with thee, and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee." Have you heard of this chorus? Well, I give you the music. It goes like this. "Lord crucified, give me a heart like thine. Teach me to love the dying souls of men and keep my heart in closest touch with thee, and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee." You see, when we become a child of God, the Apostle Paul described to us the mechanics of salvation. He tells us in Romans 5 verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. The love of God is poured forth, gushed out, spilled. And that's the meaning of the word abound. It is a picture of a fountain with all water flowing and increasing with increasing strength. That is a strength to the gushing. And the spiritual life that God imparts to us through His Spirit when we are made spiritually alive is something that we are to experience. The love of God that is spilled, poured forth, gushed out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. And so we try to encourage someone who has just received the Lord that you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and you believe what Jesus Christ has done for you. He has died on the cross and rose again the third day by faith. The Spirit of God comes and dwells in you. And you'll be surprised that there is an effervescing, bubbling fountain of life that God imparts to you, that He wants you to take hold of it. The love of God. And this is what Jonathan Goforth speaks about. How he was able to uproot himself all the way from England. He went to China. And during those times, he lost his family. Very difficult time. There, God was with them. And how they evangelized to our ancestors. And that is the reason why we have life. Because there was someone who was willing to share the good news of the gospel to us. And so it is my prayer, and certainly the prayer of our pastoral advisor, Dr. To Siang Hua, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That your love may be guided by the knowledge of the Word of God. And so this love that is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit works in tandem with the holy writ of Scripture that God has revealed to us fully complete. And in that knowledge, He guides us, enables us to be discerning, to exercise proper discrimination, that we may learn to make godly decisions. What we do, what to do, what not to do in the new year. And so you'd find that as you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God comes to you. And what does this love mean? Well, Paul says that you put on a new man, and that you are renewed in knowledge after the knowledge of Him that created you. Colossians 3 verse 10. And to help us to understand this abounding, Jesus gave this parable of the mustard seed in Matthew chapter 13. He tells us, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And so the Lord tells us that as you take time in the Word of God, as you pray before you read the Word of God, God would impart to you a wisdom for life. He shows you how you are able as a father to interact with your spouse, your wife, And as a parents, how to interact with your children. What is a godly way? And you would find that this wisdom that God imparts to us is just right. In the sense that as we seek Him, as we pray, there are certain, well, I would say, deficiencies, weaknesses in our lives that God would reveal to us by His Spirit, through His Word. And we learn, and that wisdom would enable us, you know, just a little tweaking, understanding the will of God, how we can interact one with another, the husband with the wife. Ah, you find that it genders so much peace and joy within that family. How wonderful it is. God imparts that wisdom. And so Paul is saying to us that this fervor may come to you, that you may learn, that you may obey the commandments of God, and such a life will show itself in reality, not a pretense of belonging to Him. There is a life that is real, that is true, that is within you, and that you would love Him, and that you would love His Word, that you would love His house, that you would love His day, that you would love His people. So Paul is giving to us a message of prayer that he has for the people in Philippi, those who may be new in their Christian walk. And he understands that they are struggling to be able to come every Lord's Day to church, just to make an appointment with God to be there. Each time is a struggle. There are so many distractions, so many attractions, there are so many different things that pulls us. And so Paul says that I pray for you that your love may abound with knowledge, that you may understand the meaning of worship, that you may understand the meaning of coming, setting aside the Sabbath day of rest, 1 in 7, that you may understand the significance of it. And we've been spending time this year, we were studying the Israelites in the Exodus, right? How when God brought them out of Egypt, God told them that every Sabbath day, it is a day of rest. And how the Lord rained manna from heaven for 6 days. And on the 6th day, He gave them 2 portions. So that on the 7th day, they would not have to go out. They would collect their double portion on Saturday, so that God would stipulate that rest for them on the Sabbath day. And so this love that we have for the commandments of God, for the day of rest, is guided. That we understand the meaning of, you know, not working 7 days a week until we get so tired out that we become dysfunctional. Well, the Lord provides us that wisdom, and Paul is praying for us and teaching us how we may abound in the love of God, that we may learn to love Him, loving His book, that we would take time to study His Word, to have devotion. This year we have been spending time emphasizing how important it is that we have our devotional time, our time with God, how important it is that we would set aside time, because we said that before you begin the challenge of the day, when sometimes we said evil that is hurled upon you, that you are prepared. And we have been spending, I think, we spent a day during our family day recently to study why Jesus would rise up early in the morning and to go to a solitary place, and there He would pray. How important it is that we learn to seek God and find strength for our life. This strength, this love for God is based on His Word. And it is discerning that we may understand all judgment. And so the Lord tells us and explains to us how important it is that we would grow in His love. And we speak about these things in order to encourage us to grow of our love in Him. And I will make it a point, will you say, in the new year, not to miss worship for convenience, but rather to serve Him by my physical presence in His house each Lord's Day. That is to love God in knowledge that He wants you to be present before Him so that you can receive His blessings, that He may instruct you with His wisdom for life, that you may know what to do, how to order your life. And there is a mysterious quality, a mysterious imparting of God's grace, His unmerited favor to us when we worship Him. And so, can we say that the new year to come, we want to not to miss worship for convenience, but we would rather serve Him by our physical presence in His house each Lord's Day, that our love for Him may indeed abound more and more. So this is what Paul is praying for the people in the church in Philippi. Do you pray this for your family members? That, you know, each one of them would grow and abound in the spiritual graces, that they may understand the knowledge of God and to love God according to how He would want us to love Him, that we may receive maximum profit, benefit from our relationship with Him. To pray for spiritual growth. In our prayer list, we wrote under church, to pray for sweet fellowship among members and friends, to encourage one another in the Lord. That's a spiritual exercise, that we seek God, that He may help us to grow. And that's why, you know, over the last two services, we have asked all of us to sit closer together, not so scattered, right, but sit closer together and sit further in front, so that you can focus in your worship. A very good recommendation for our spiritual advancement. We thank God that there are those who love us, care for us, to advise us. Wow. We benefit. And so, well, I encourage you that, you know, in the new year to come, we may be more focused as we come together, sit in front, and worship the Lord. It's easier, right? We have eye contact. We are able to communicate and feel the warmth one with another when we are nearer one to another. The Lord wants us to abound in these things. And this was Paul's prayer. Do you ask your brother in Christ, how are you? How can I pray for you? That we may not be about doing just our own things, fulfill our deal when we come to church, and then we quickly march off and leave for home. And if you have not been coming for prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, it is our prayer that God will move your heart to set aside this time to be in God's house, to pray for God's people. And that is a prayer that we have. Paul's prayer, that you may abound more and more in knowledge. We have a prayer list. There are the needs of God's people. Who would pray for them? Imagine if, you know, yourself in trouble. You know that you are not alone, because every prayer request that is given, you know that you have your prayer warrior friends who would make an appointment with God, and they would be willing to make a sacrifice of whatever other responsibilities that they have for the week to take time to be in the house of God. And this is what Paul is saying to us. So you have not been able to attend prayer meeting, then, well, why not? May God move your heart to set aside this time to be in God's house, to pray for God's people, and to be exalted in the Word of God, that we may find strength for life, serving God together. And so, Paul speaks about a fervor, that there may be an effervescing love that comes to our hearts, and then he tells us that with it comes the favor of God in our lives, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and offense till the day of Christ. Verse 10. That ye may approve things, you may find favor of God from God, and that you may be found faithful at the day of reckoning, when Christ returns to reward his servants. And so the word to approve means to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize what is genuine, what is real. So when we are abounding in the love of God and in the knowledge of God, then God gives you the ability to choose the better things to do for life. To approve, it says, things that are excellent. And so he tells us that there are those things which make for usefulness in our spiritual life. Those excellent things, he tells us, we are to set our hearts upon. And so we said that our love must be a love that has knowledge and judgment. We must not waste our time and energy on those things which are not profitable. So God's word tells us, set our affections on things above and not things on earth. As you study the Word of God, the lesson comes to us. Luke 12:15. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. A common problem among the people here, how we set our affections to build our barns on earth only to be disappointed. And the Lord says, gives this parable. He says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he says, this will I do. I pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And so that fervor would bring to us a discernment and understanding to be able to choose what are those things which would be priority for our life. What is important? Not the urgent things. What is important? What are those things that would count for eternity? So our value system will be tested. What is truly valuable must be eternal. It's a good test, isn't it? What is truly valuable must be eternal. And so the Lord wants us to think and consider, right, where we are putting our energy, or what we are doing with our life, right, so that we would lay up treasure not for ourselves, but that we will be rich toward God. So that the day when you would see the Lord, He would say to you, Thou good and faithful servant, you have done well. You have used your talents to great profit. And there is a reward that is here given to you. And so the Lord tells us, and this is what Paul is praying for the church, that the people may understand, right, what are those things that are excellent? What are those things that would help them, that would profit them, that he may be sincere and without offense, verse 10 says, till the day of Christ. That you would have a heart that is true to the Christian character, without pretense, but to love God and to love one another with a pure heart, sincere, without hidden motives. And that's the meaning of the word there, sincere. It means it has a description of pure metal, not alloy, unmixed metal, without alloy, pure. That is the kind of love that God wants us to have. That indeed we may, that kind of a life that we live, that would be sincere and without offense. What it says here is that, you know, whenever we will take time to examine ourselves, where we have gone wrong, we ask God for forgiveness, there is that constant self-checking. And God wants us to put on that kind of a spiritual demeanor. And the psalmist David prays to God and said, Lord, show me even my secret thoughts. Those things that I don't know, that I may have stumbled, Lord, reveal it to me so that I may be forgiven. Do you live that kind of life so that you be without offense in the day of Christ? That we make sure that our life is right in the sight of God. We understand what God would want us to do. Those things that are of true value, genuine, these are those things that we pursue after. And Paul puts it very well in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things that are of good report, that there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. And so he tells us that we establish ourselves with good values, spiritual values, that we may be sincere and without offense, that we can stand before God in the day when He would usher us before Him happy. And this is the life that God wants us to live. Solomon puts it this way. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty, or this is the whole of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so the Lord tells us that there is a day of reckoning. And what we do now affects what will be in eternity. And so there is a spiritual, eternal perspective of life right now in the physical realm. Right? We understand the spiritual things. And we are willing to take hold of these spiritual things. That is why Daniel wrote in Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness, as the brightness of the firmament. They shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so the Lord tells us that there is a value for our life that He wants to impart to us. And this was Paul's prayer for the people, that there is that fervor, and there is also that we may find favor with God, because we are able to take hold of those things which God would want us to do. Be in the will of God, in the center of what Christ would want for our life. And then, verse 11, we use the archaic word to challenge us a little bit. Fruitiferous. That we may bear fruit. Verse 11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So, God wants the Philippians to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are produced by the power of Jesus Christ working in us. God wants that for us today. He does not want us to have the fruits of sin, but the fruits of righteousness. God wants us, and here the word, the verb there is in the reflexive. Being filled, it speaks of God's work in our lives. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness. See, God is the one to give us the fruit. And our duty is to take time to learn of Him as we study His Word, as we pray, right? As we examine ourselves, as we confess our sins, as we put on Christ, put on the righteousness that God would want us to have. And that's where we grow. That's where we find strength for life. And the Lord tells us that you would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. This is imparted to us. And, you know, here, that word there is what we call the perfect tense. An action that is taken that has enduring results. When you bear spiritual fruit in your life, when God would lead you to say, I need to say this to my daughter, I need to say this to my son, this is what God wants for him. And I believe this is God's word for him at this juncture in his life. This is what I want, God wants for him. And God brings that word to us, and we bring it to him, that he may understand the will of God and do the things of God. Then, you know, the fruit is counted to you, right? Because God, having used you to impart that wisdom to your son, to your daughter, perhaps to somebody that you know in your workplace, that is a little bit of a trouble. And there is a turning around in the life of that person, bearing eternal fruit. Right? When a person is turned to God, loves God, and fervently serves Him, the reward is yours. God gives it to you. And your eternal reward is enduring, you know. And God wants us to understand those things that truly would endure. That you may be filled, that your life may bring forth enduring fruit. Fruit that will last for eternity. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. How can we have this fruit when we walk in the Spirit and not yield to the lure and the lust of the flesh? And you find that this is a great battle within us. We are in the flesh, and we are constantly in battle because the flesh is weak, and it constantly pulls us down. And unless we are filled with the Spirit of God, unless we would hide God's word in our heart, and we would pray and wrestle and say, God, please help me. I know that this temptation, I cannot resist. I always fall. I always fail. Lord, I know you want me to grow. Please help me so that I may be able to overcome, that I may be able to grow. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Against such there is no judgment. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. So, you know, when we bear forth the Spirit's fruit in our life, so wonderful. There is no nothing that God can hold against us when we bear the Spirit's fruit. And God wants us to bear that fruit. And how can we bear those fruits? Well, by taking time in our devotion, taking time to be with God every time, you know, it's time for worship, that we are prepared. The Lord helps us to prepare the day before with our hearts focused, not on anyone else, you know, and any other thing, but focus upon the Lord. And the Lord wants us to have that kind of a spiritual discipline. And this was Paul's prayer for the church in Philippi. And I believe it is a fitting prayer for the people of God as we look forward to a new year. That you may grow in fervor, grow in favor, and to bear fruit. Right? This complicated word, fructiferus, that you may bear fruit in your life. And the Lord tells us that for us to bear fruit, right, the open secret is this, that we would take time to meditate upon His Word. Right? We have spoken of this yesterday during our worship service, how we need to meditate upon the Word of God. But His delight is in the law of God, and His law doth He meditate day and night, and that He might be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Psalm 1 verse 2 and 3. But for us to bear fruit, again we reiterate, verse 1 tells us that we are to be careful who we keep company. We have to choose our friends. Right? So he says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. He chooses godly friends who are obedient to God's commandment and would follow the godly way, and he avoids the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners and the scornful. One who loves God, one who wants to follow Him, and you know that you get good influence and it will not cost you to backslide. So this final prayer of Paul is that the church in Philippi, the members may bear spiritual fruit. And this is a good prayer for us, that we would pray for the people around us, our own family members, our own children, our own spouses, that they may bear fruit. We take time for personal devotion, for worship, for prayer meeting, for fellowship meetings, that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of God's Word, in the diligent, focused study of God's life-giving words. We have been reading the Bible through 1 year. We have bought this book over the last 3 years already. And I believe some of you have gone through reading from beginning to the end once, if not twice. This year is our third or fourth year. I've profited taking time to read, so that, you know, there is a systematic, disciplined reading, and you would not do any other thing if you have not read your Bible. And if you take time to read, take time to meditate, oh, you find that, wow, there is great profit. There is always a good lesson for us. So the Lord wants us to bear fruit. And I was reading the life of godly men. Inadvertently, you find each and every one of them spending a lot of time in the study of God's Word. They take time. They would allocate time. They would make sure that the important things are prioritize. I will not rush into the day's work without that spiritual strengthening first. Because when the temptation comes and you're not prepared, you'll fall. We will fall. And so this was Paul's prayer for the people of God, that they would grow, they would bear fruit. You'll be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And we mentioned yesterday, in the Chinese translation is the word sun li, that whatsoever you do shall prosper. God makes a way for you. The right way. And if you follow God's way, you are protected from the pitfalls of life. the landmines that comes will not be men blown. To lose any part of our limbs because of our carelessness. So all who have set priorities in the Lord through the means of grace that God gives to us in the local church are set to grow. How, albeit fruit coming only in its season. Right? You may say that, I come for prayer meeting, I come for worship, it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years now, I don't see fruit. Well, fruit comes in its season. We have to be very patient to let God work the work of grace in our hearts. You see, I recall a very good story of the Chinese bamboo. The Chinese bamboo. You water and you plant. After you plant, put fertilizer, first year nothing. Second year nothing. Third year nothing. Fourth year nothing. But fifth year, suddenly, wow, it grows, it shoots up to 100 meters. Now what happened during those time? Well, it's sinking roots below, you see. How can a plant grow to its height when the foundations, the root system is not strong? And so the root has to be secure. It's the same for our lives. If we have not a good spiritual foundation upon the Word of God, we use the King James Bible, and we continue to use because of the purity of it. How important it is that we be sick and build strong roots, so that when it's time to grow, well, you are able to grow, right? You look at a person who is going to grow tall. First, you see that God would give that person a large feet. Before the growth process. Why? How to support a body with the growth, before the growth, a large feet. This is my own observation. And so the Lord tells us, and Paul tells us, that He wants us to bear fruit in our lives. And it begins with a fervor, right? With a love that abounds more and more in knowledge and in judgment. And that we may set the things which are our affections on the things which are excellent, the things that God would want us to do. And then there is that sincere approach towards living and life. Straightforward. And that we'll be without offense. We take time to examine ourselves, take time to look at where we may have gone wrong, set it right with God, set it right. And then the Lord tells us that there will be profit. And He closes this prayer with these words: unto being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. So it is in Jesus Christ, through Him, by Him, by His power, that the fruit will come unto the glory and praise of God. Not for our own benefit, but for His own honor and glory, that He has made us, each one of us, different, but all to shine for Him, all to reflect His glory. And this is the greatness of the life that He has for each one of us. Made in His image, each one beautiful. And the Lord wants us to develop it to the fullest. And this was Paul's prayer for the Philippian Christians. And this is a fitting prayer
as we prepare for the new year, may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for showing us out of Thy Word this heartening prayer to prepare us for the new year of grace 2019. May Thy Spirit come and fill us, and Lord, Your joy and peace may strengthen us as we look forward to the new year. We do not know what lies ahead. The trials, the temptations that be before us will certainly come, but we know that in Thee we shall have the victory. He that has started a good work in us will accomplish it at the day of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we can safely commit our lives to Thee, and Lord, may Thou help us to bear good fruit. And it's in Your time, as we move on in the new year of 2019, this I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.